direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes.
I carry 23 great wounds, all got in battle. 75 men have I killed with my own hands in battle. I scatter, I burn my enemies' tents. I take away their flocks and herds. The Turks pay me a golden treasure, yet I am poor. Because I am a river to my people.
I am a river to you, people. That's right.
It's from Lawrence of Arabia.
That's from Lawrence of Arabia.
Anthony Quinn.
And that is what I tell my daughter now when she asks me for money. I do that whole little speech.
And she goes, oh, God.
Every time she
again.
Asks me for money. John, there's a reason I opened with that. Do you know why that is?
Because John Hurt passed away last week.
We are going to talk about John Hurt
passing away. And he burst out of Anthony Quinn's stomach.
No.
I think I got that wrong. Go ahead.
No, you know why? Because for whatever reason, I had a hankering to watch Lawrence of Arabia. And we've had this conversation before where we talk about movies that we appreciate on an aesthetic level, but don't necessarily, we don't love.
And that's one for you.
And that was one for me. But I watched it again. It was on Amazon.
Did you finally?
For whatever reason, I had a, and I feel like I turned the corner on that movie.
You
I
finally
feel
got
like,
the love.
I feel like you know, I don't know what it was. I still have
What's holding you back?
I don't know. I still feel like there's a distance in the character. I still feel
because there's a distance in the character.
Well, there's definitely.
It's the character.
It's like Citizen Kane as well.
Yeah, it's not a warm and fuzzy character, but you can love the movie. Yeah.
But I really appreciated all of the tertiary characters as well. You know, there's a lot of great performances. Claude Rains is great.
Omar Sharif.
Alec Guinness in Brownface playing Prince Faisal, which is weird.
That's right.
But there is. But there is a scene where it's like Faisal is talking to Claude Rains, and I'm like, "Wow, that's Alec Guinness and Claude Rains." And you're just thinking,
"I know
that's a lot of
talent in the room."
That's everything from Casablanca to Star Wars, like right in one.
I know
in one or Invisible Man to Star Wars.
Yeah, if you're doing 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, it's like,
so I want to do it. I want to do a little. I want us to all do a little project, and I want us to pick a movie that you may have not necessarily liked the first time you saw it. And I want you to think about it, and then I want you to go back and watch it, and we'll go back and see what we thought about it. So that's your homework. So is this a movie that you
– Homework?
Is there a movie that you guys think of right away that everybody loves that maybe you weren't necessarily that blown away by? Is there one that comes immediately – that springs to your mind?
I could think of movies.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, really?
That's a great example because that is one of my wife's favorites.
I love that movie now, but when I first watched it.
Oh, okay.
So you've already done it. You've already done the homework.
Yeah, I watched it the first time. I'm like, what?
The key is to watch it and then like fast forward through Mickey Rooney as Mr.
Oh, yeah, I hated that.
What's his name?
Mr. Miyagi. Yeah. I have a feeling La La Land will be that for me.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that if I go back and watch it again,
that
I will like it. I will like it more.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah.
Or I might go the other way and go, well, I was right the first time.
It's shit. It's always been shit. It'll never be.
But you know,
but
what? I didn't even not. It's not that I didn't like it. And John, you saw it. You loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Jake is a huge proponent of it.
Yes, I am.
So Justine is in some sort of weird Trumpian relationship where she's not allowed to watch it.
Yeah.
No. Not allowed.
A Trumpian? We should watch how we say that.
Yeah.
Let's not throw
FTC
that around.
Is crack down in a minute.
Let's not throw it around too
CNN
lightly.
CNN is there to protect you.
I'm going
to
have my own woman's march against
Did somebody,
them.
A solo woman's march.
She's marching in circles.
Solo watch long.
Jeez.
What is exactly the circumstances that you won't watch?
He won't.
I just don't want to see it.
He doesn't want to see it.
Oh, but you can go see it on your own.
Yeah, of course.
You don't have to see everything together, right?
No.
Yes.
I mean, she's under that opinion.
I don't care.
It's going to the movies.
I'll see it again.
Ooh, it looks like you have a date.
I know. I already told him. I was a little upset that he already watched it without me.
We have a...
But he hasn't seen Rogue One, so...
Ah, yeah.
You haven't seen Rogue One?
Don't look at me like that.
We talked about this last week.
I don't know.
This is 75% a nerd podcast. How have you not seen Rogue One?
Is it still in theaters?
Yes. It's the...
Don't give me that look.
But you are a fan. How could you...
I don't know.
How could you not see it? I've seen it.
In Game of Thrones where we're parading Jake through the streets going, shame.
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 Bong, shame. Bong, shame.
That's going to be a real shit show.
Did you know?
Since you're not Lena.
Has anyone seen Split?
No.
I've heard great things.
I've heard great things, but I've really been burned in the past by M. Night Shyamalan. I've seen some really bad movies.
Yeah, I heard
movies.
He reminds us why he's the master of twists.
It's just the first movie. Just so, Sixth Sense, that's it. Because all the other movies, the twists aren't so gratifying.
Yeah.
Or surprising.
Yeah, Signs. Oh, shit, the water.
He did Avatar, right?
Well,
no, that's James Cameron.
M. Night Shyamalan? Shyamalan Ding Dong?
Signs.
The Last Airbender.
Who did the live-action Avatar
Last
movie?
Airbender? That was him. But
yeah. That was him.
But
it
you
was
said
horrible.
Avatar.
That was
Avatar.
The Last Airbender.
Oh, yes. I thought you said Avatar.
Continue my sentence.
Say Avatar like okay. Because that movie was terrible, too, and we should lay the blame.
I love that show.
That wasn't a terrible movie.
That was a good show.
It wasn't the masterpiece everyone thinks it is.
Okay, we're talking about two different things. So Justine's talking about The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Avatar. James Cameron's Avatar.
Which is pretty good.
Which is not good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Which is Fern Gully meets Dance with Wolves.
It was entertaining.
Both great movies. Just nice to have them all combined.
Yeah.
If he comes again tomorrow, I will call him Two Socks. My hat. That's my hat.
Is that Kevin Costner?
Yeah. My hat. Give me my hat. That is my hat.
Speaking of remakes, Dune's in the works.
You know who's directing
no
it?
No way.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, God, what's his name?
The same guy that directed Arrival.
Yes.
Has been slated to.
Wow.
Well, that's
going to
be
Blade
a
Runner.
Wonderful movie. And I'm looking forward
Blade
to it.
Yeah, they're going to get him to do everything. And if it's anything like Arrival, I am on board.
Yeah. Wow.
Now that having finally read Dune, thanks to Charlene. I almost forgot her name right there for a second.
Oh, I thought it was Tawny that turned you
on. Tawny and Charlene. Charlene actually lent me the book, so. Shout out to Charlene.
But it looks good. You know, hopefully good. I think it's enough with the remakes. I don't think.
Good luck with that.
I know.
That's all they want to make.
That's what this year is. I mean, you know.
That's all this decade's been. They just want remakes.
Well, they've only made one Dune, and it was not well received. So hopefully this will be
Nobody did like a straight-to-cable Dune?
Yeah, there was one.
They did, yeah.
Was that any good?
No. That wasn't good either.
No.
That was not good either.
But they don't need to do Blade Runner. Blade Runner is perfect
the
way it is.
Well, it's a sequel. It's not a remake.
Yeah, but why?
It's a sequel. Totally
because
different.
People have been asking for a Blade Runner sequel for a long time.
And Ridley Scott's on board. The thing is, if it was anybody other than this director, I'd be kind of worried. But Arrival was such a knockout.
Still haven't seen it.
I'm thinking. It's
you
still
haven't
theaters.
Seen
it.
God.
Shut up. I haven't seen Star Wars, boy.
Yeah, you know what?
We
you're
had
the same
our priorities.
Boat as me.
Priorities. Rogue One was up there. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Rogue One, Rogue One this weekend slid into second place.
Finally.
For 2016's gross, it was $1.3 billion.
Was it the top moneymaker for 2016?
No. Does anyone have any guesses as to
Force
what?
Awakens?
La La Land.
No, 2016.
Oh.
Force Awakens was 2015.
Really, it was?
It was December, yeah.
Well, shit, I don't know.
Any guesses?
Any guesses?
Nope.
Deadpool?
Nope.
Oh, I would have guessed that. Yeah,
yeah,
Deadpool.
It was a good one.
You're on the right track.
It was a Marvel movie.
Yes, it was.
Oh,
it was
Civil War.
Civil War. So,
how much does that one make?
$1 trillion.
Any guesses?
I'd say $1 billion.
$2 billion.
It's no 1.15. So it's very close.
Oh, damn!
It could unseat it if it keeps going. It's still in theatrical run. But that's insane.
$1 gazillion. Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. The top two movies
$1 million.
A comic book movie and a Star Wars movie.
Both
it just
owned
goes
by Disney.
To show nerds have all the power.
Both and owned by Disney. Money. And now
both owned by Disney. There's no stopping Disney right
now.
Nope.
They have 23 wounds all got in battle.
They're going to rule the world.
They've killed 75 men with their bare hands.
If there's just some way we could channel that power to unseat somebody that...
If only they could play their trump card.
Whoa! We say that for the last. Listen, we say that for the last 30 minutes now.
Trump dump is at the end.
Trump dump is at the end. Last 30 minutes of the show. So stay tuned for that. Otherwise, just tune in for the first hour.
It's going to be a steamy one.
It's going to be a steamy pile today. This week.
Odious.
Yeah, steamy pile. Of
ignominious.
Authoritarianism.
How about that Rogue One?
How about that Rogue One? Huh?
Yeah. Wait. You haven't seen it yet, still?
No.
What did you think of it?
Best movie I haven't
are
seen.
Are you going to see it?
Probably. At
what
some
are you
point.
Waiting for?
DVD,
know.
Apparently.
Yeah.
He's waiting for Why a haven't, date.
Is there something about it? Are you not a huge Star Wars fan?
I like Star Wars.
Because the door's
I just haven't gone.
You're busy.
I just haven't gone.
You're busy.
Get enough time to see La La Land and Arrival.
Yeah.
Well, Arrival was before.
It was.
Yeah, but La La Land, I can't believe you're putting that ahead of Rogue One.
That's like really bad life choices.
I like musicals.
Like 2017 okay. bad life choices.
John, and my friend, you, and John, my friend offered like? To pay for me to go see La La Land, and I'm not going to say no to the movie.
John, what did you like better, La La Land or Rogue One?
Well, it's apples and oranges. But...
I didn't ask that, John.
Rogue One.
Thank you.
Fruit? Thank you, sir. That's all I wanted. It's like, what did you like better, I Spit on Your Grave or Bambi?
Spitting on the grave. I can't deal with the
deer murder.
Do you know
what I Spit on Your Grave is?
I love the way Marty's all, do you know?
Do you know what that movie
I
is?
I Spit on Your Grave is?
Love it.
I'm sorry I brought it
no,
up.
No, you should definitely check it out while it's on the big screen.
Yes.
What, I Spit on Your Grave?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yes.
Or Bambi. Oh, you know, the guy that painted all the backgrounds just passed away.
Yes, that's right. I forgot his name.
Amazing.
Let's give a quick shout out to his memory.
Patrick.
That sounds so...
I know he's Asian.
That's helpful.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, they say Bambi that was the trick to that movie because Disney was going, God, these backgrounds, you can't make out anything.
Tyrus Wong.
There you go.
Tyrus Wong.
Yeah. And then he went on to storyboards stuff after Bambi, right?
He was 106 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
Wow. Lucky son 106.
Now, last week, did you guys talk about John Hurt passing away?
We did not because it happened on Friday, I believe.
Yeah, it just happened.
So to modern audiences, John Hurt will be... most recently remembered as the War Doctor from Doctor Who.
He was also...
Ollivander from Harry Potter.
That's right. But we know, John and I know him best as the Elephant Man.
That's right. Amazing performance.
I am not an animal.
That's really something to see.
Yeah.
A great movie.
Have you guys seen Elephant Man?
Bits and pieces. I've never seen the whole thing.
You want to cry your eyes out. Watch that movie.
Well, I love John Hurt. He's
Take
really
the phone
actor.
Off the hook. And watch that movie without interruption. You will cry your eyes out.
That's right. True story. And we also know him from Spaceballs.
Well, Alien, my God. You can't forget him from Alien.
Hellboy.
Oh, that's right.
We passed away.
Number 3.
That's right.
We're the ones that push back.
Bump.
things that go bump in the night. We're
and
the ones that bump
they're
gonna back.
Do, they're talking about doing number 3. Like...
Really?
Really strongly talking about
really?
It.
Really? I thought that was just not going to happen.
Del Toro's on the line.
Really?
He's
and,
ready to go.
Mike Mignola's online?
Yeah.
Really?
They're talking to, what's his face? What's his actor's name?
Maybe enough. Well, I know Ron Perlman was ready
was
to
always
go.
Wanted to do it.
Yeah,
but
he says no problem. If those guys are involved, I'll do it.
Guillermo did a Twitter poll on, you know, how well it would be received.
Yeah?
He's like, you know, hey, what do you guys think about doing Hellboy 3? And people lost their shit.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
It is in the works. Hellboy 3
Well, maybe
is
enough
in the
time
works.
Has passed, because I know everybody's just like, okay, we've been doing those for like 9 years. Let's just give it a rest. That's great. Wow. That's cool.
But it'll be exciting.
In the absence of light, darkness prevails.
An ancient evil has returned, greater than any the world has ever known.
How old is this trailer?
2 years ago, I tried to destroy the world. They're back.
Now, one secret government agency.
Welcome to the Bureau for Paranormal Research and Defense.
Has been called upon.
Hellboy.
To stand against them.
There are things that go bump in the night.
And we are the ones who bump back.
Mario hates that
Such
line.
Such a terrible line.
Such a great actor.
It's a terrible
actor.
Line.
But you have a great
I love that movie.
You have a great actor do a bad line, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
That's what you do. He brings
I rebel.
That.
I rebel,
which she never said.
I know, it still pisses me off to this day.
They cut it out.
Well, because everybody hated it so much. I don't
they should have had somebody say, what are you rebelling against? What do you got?
Yeah. There you go. That's right. Rebel Without a Cause?
The Wild One.
Rebel Without a Cause. big subplot in that La La Land.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the Rialto. Isn't that nice? Yeah. You've been to the Rialto?
No.
Oh, boy.
No. John, have you?
Nice. Yeah. It was really something.
Well, it's closed now in the movie.
Well, it's closed in real life for years. South Pasadena. It went back to the 20s. It had a balcony. It was just gorgeous. And they just couldn't keep it going. It's hard to keep a theater going when you can only run one movie at a time. And they tried it as a revival theater. And it didn't work, and so it's protected. I don't think they can put a wrecking ball through it, but they're like, what can we do? Make it into a restaurant or a movie or theater or, you know, something. Actually, maybe they'll do like the Alex Theater did, they'll retain the theater but turn it into like a showplace for concerts and ballets and stuff like that.
Hopefully. But, John, why haven't you opened your own revival theater? Not that I was blowing you off there. But you would be the perfect person to
People
curate.
People said that years ago when there was like 10 of them in L.A., like back in the 80s before cable and DVDs took over.
And internet.
Yeah, there was about 10 of them in the L.A. Hollywood area. And as, yeah, videos, DVDs, cable, streaming, all that came in, it just, you know, one by one, they all got bumped off. Did you ever go to the Vagabond on Wilshire Boulevard? They would do these festivals. You wouldn't believe it. They did a festival once that took a year. They played every MGM movie, period.
What? Whoa.
They started at the beginning and they ran. The guy that ran the Vagabond had connections with the studios where he could get rentals and all that stuff. So one year they just did – they put a big lineup on top of the marquee and they did – MGM movies, pretty much every movie ever.
What?
It took them like a year to do it. All the musicals, all the black and white stuff, all the... And then, when that was over, they did the Warner Brothers catalog. So the next year was all Warner Brothers stuff. So you would see all the stuff you would expect to see, and then you'd see some real oddities.
That's
and it was
cool.
Great to see like a full house.
That's
like when they did,
insane.
You know, so that's where I saw a lot of that MGM stuff, like Singing in the Rain and... you know, for the first time was at the Vagabond before you could – there was no Turner Classic Movies. There was no – home video was just starting, you know.
I'm looking it up. Vagabond Theater.
On Wilshire. It was right there by MacArthur Park. There's a little Mexican restaurant next door to it called La Fonda. And it was just the greatest place. And it would sell out. It would be wall-to-wall movie nuts. It would be like every seat filled. So, you know, you could see something like The Maltese Falcon or Casablanca. But the next week they'd show something like – you know, some Karloff movie, you know, like The Walking Dead, full house, just to see that, because it's the only way you're going to see it, you know?
It's really cool.
There is the Hayworth Theater now.
Yeah.
That's what it became.
Yeah.
And it is on Wilshire, 2511.
I can't, does it say when it closed down as the Vagabond?
Opened in 1928 as the Mask Theater.
Wow.
A legitimate playhouse.
It was a revival, I think, from like the 70s to probably like the mid 80s or something. You know, the Newark was a revival theater, and so was the Rialto. There's a bunch of them.
Where can we find these?
The Tiffany. I mean, what you got now is the New Beverly, which is still great. Quentin Tarantino runs that. You got the Silent Movie Theater up there on Fairfax.
Well, Cinefamily now.
Cinefamily, and that's wonderful. They do a great job. The Egyptian,
yeah,
which is American Cinematheque. They do a great job. The Arrow is also American Cinematheque. So you got.
We got the Vista. But they run...
The Vista runs new stuff.
Runs
it's a great, beautiful theater, and that goes back to the 20s, and that's been restored completely.
Right around the corner from Tiki T. Head out there.
It's a
Hollywood
great theater,
Junction.
But it is showing new stuff. So basically, then you've got the Billy Wilder.
So, John, what we're saying is there's an opening for you.
Well, not so much. Those places just make it. They just make it.
That's what we do. Yeah. That's what we're all about. Just
you
like
know,
this podcast.
Turner Classic Movies has rendered the Revival Theater obsolete. Because in your own home, you can see all the old movies, you know. So it's just about obsolete.
But now you have to stream it on that. What's the website with...
Oh, right. The one they're doing with...
Criterion.
Criterion. Oh, my God. That looks great. If anything's going to get me online, that's going to do it.
You heard it here first, guys.
Wow.
We got to get them that subscription.
That's 2017, the year
that's
for
Turner
change.
Classics and Criterion together. What's it called? Film...
I'm looking it up right now. Filmstruck.
That's right.
And thus, it was the last sign of the apocalypse.
John gets on the...
Gets on the internet.
John gets on the interwebs.
That's something. That got my attention. The stuff they're going to show on that is pretty amazing.
I love it. Well, it's a lot of the Criterion stuff.
Yeah.
Which was on Hulu. But it doesn't look like a lot of the Turner stuff. It looks more like...
Okay, so the stuff you're not seeing on Turner.
Yeah.
Because that need's already fulfilled.
Yeah.
Turner. But, you know, my dream, I got to say, back in the 80s was when the Wardman wasn't doing so well, that would have been a beautiful revival theater. And it's a college town with a lot of old people. It should have been a perfect neighborhood for a revival theater. But now it's doing a boom business. With 9 screens showing new stuff, it's doing a boom business.
Yeah.
It's just too bad that one of those screens can't always be old stuff.
Well, it is. They have the cinemas.
Once a month.
Once a month.
Yeah.
Or twice a month.
On a Monday, yeah. But
on a Monday.
They could do it. I always thought that would be a beautiful theater for revival.
Where did you see La La Land?
I saw that up at the Regal, La Habra.
And let's talk about it. What did you think?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. You know, I'm not really a musical. I'm not a fan of musicals. So it was really, I was surprised that I loved it as much as I did.
Yeah, yeah.
I kept hearing about it, that you got these great shots of Hollywood and L.A., you know, the Formosa.
Sure.
And all these great, all these great little landmarks, you know. And also the lighthouse. That you must have.
Sure.
You ever been to the lighthouse?
Formosa Beach, no. No, that's a famous place.
As a jazz fan.
And there's a lot of, there was a, the Crusaders did a great album at the Lighthouse. I think it's the Crusaders.
I'm surprised you've never been.
Well, no.
Because you're such a jazz fanatic. And that's the last, is that the last of the jazz clubs?
No, there's a few. There's the,
I mean, the old jazz clubs.
No, you have the,
what is it?
The Jazz Bakery. You have the baked potato. You have.
So how far back does the baked potato go?
Let's look. Jazz Crusaders at the Lighthouse in 1962. Mm. Check it out. It is on Amazon. You can get it on. You can get the $8.99 on Prime. Okay.
Damn. All right.
Let's look at that track listing. Shall we? Shall we look at that? Let's look at it.
Let's do it.
You got the.
That sounds like NPR. Good times.
Good times.
Cooking with Lino Setta Casper.
And now next.
Good times.
I gotta say, jazz man. That was my Ryan.
You must have loved
that. Was my Ryan Gosling.
You must have loved that character, though, right?
Did I?
Did you?
Did I?
I don't.
Or did you think
did.
It was too phony? Too phony baloney.
I don't know.
He was the Holden Caulfield of jazz.
No, it was all right. It was fine. It was
so that Hoagie Carmichael seat, is that from the baked potato? Did he say Hoagie Carmichael?
I don't remember where he said.
I just thought that was so great that he's all, get off that chair. Hoagie Carmichael sat on that.
Let's see. You got me looking up stuff.
So what year is that movie set in?
Well, it's supposed to be now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right now. Yeah.
I know, it's a little weird. Because
literally right here. Right now.
They don't make too many contemporary references. Oh, but he does have the, I mean, they are carrying cell phones. And also, she wants him to play that Flock of Seagulls song.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that it's past the 80s.
The Baked Potato opened in 1970. Opened in 1970.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's not an old club. I mean, a lot of those old clubs are gone.
Like the Cinegrill at the Roosevelt Hotel. Mm-hmm. That goes back, doesn't it?
Why is it called that?
The Cinegrill?
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
I don't know. So maybe the Lighthouse is the oldest original jazz club, huh?
No, I don't think
in
so.
In the area?
I don't think so. Wait, I think there's... Well, hold on.
Holding.
See, I'm doing like... I'm lobbing all these jazz questions.
You know what would, you know what would help you? If you had the internet, you could do
that. Ah, that's true.
You would have to ask all these
questions. I could just stop talking to you.
Hello.
Well, next time I got a jazz question, I just...
I'm looking,
you can talk to Siri.
Instead of making a human contact with a human being, friend.
Well, yeah, but then I have to go into...
But then he has to go on the internet.
I know the way Mario does it is all, Siri, when did the big
potato open? I'll give you the 12 oldest bars in L.A.
Lay it on.
Kohl's is the oldest, right? I'll bet you Kohl's is the oldest.
12 oldest bars in L.A. The Mint on Pico and Fairfax opened in 1937. Mm. Alhambra Cocktail Lounge, San Pedro, 1936. Mm. Tom Bergen's Fairfax, 1936. The Frolic Room, Hollywood, 1934. Mm. The Formosa, now gone, 1934. Uh-huh. Harvell's Blues Club, 1931. Urkel's, 1927, Manhattan Beach. The Townhouse in Venice, 1915. Kohl's, 1908.
Damn.
King Eddie Saloon, downtown, 1906.
Okay, that has been remodeled, though, right? That's the one that they just did a big, big remodel.
It doesn't matter.
So it's still there, though. It's still,
still beats Kohl's.
That was a big controversy.
I like to see Kohl's go down every time. Golden Gopher, 1905.
Golden Gopher?
That's downtown.
Jeez.
How about that? Downtown. They have a liquor to go nook. Looks great. Big Dean's Oceanfront Cafe in Santa Monica.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready?
Where are you going? I'm going to Big Dean's.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
1902.
They've been open since 1902.
Let's do a tour. What do you guys say?
Yeah, let's do a pub
bar crawl.
Pub crawl? Yeah. 1906.
Damn.
Wow.
So what did you say about the remodel the what?
The King Eddie's. There was a big thing in the paper years ago, a couple years ago, because it was a real dive, and everyone loved it, and the beer was cheap, and they were going to do this big remodel because it's now connected to some hotel or something. And they said, oh, my God, they're going to kick out all the old regulars and the old bartenders, and they were going to do this big remodel. They were afraid they were going to turn it into like a yuppified, gentrified sort of thing. But I guess – I don't know how it turned out, but I guess it's still there.
The King Eddie Saloon is famously poured heavy for Bukowski – Burroughs and other literary liquor.
I think it's in Barfly. I think that's used in Barfly.
Because
that's a great the Bukowski story, yeah.
That great Charles Book.
Tell my friends.
We call him Books. That's great.
The Bookster.
Tell my friends.
None of that was in La La Land, though.
Mm-mm. It wasn't.
But I thought it was cool they threw the lighthouse in there.
Yeah. I've never been. I'd like to go check it out.
That's in Hermosa Beach.
I'd love to check it out.
There's a lot of great... they actually had the lighthouse, I think... I believe the gentleman who owned it, they would record a lot of stuff there. So so they would put a lot of albums out, or you would see a lot of stuff live at the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find any of those right now. But get that.
What'd you think of the music?
You know, I like the songs.
Yeah.
Grant Green, Live at the Lighthouse. Alvin Jones, Live at the Lighthouse. There's several albums. There was a lot of Blue Note stuff done. Lee Morgan, The Sidewinder. If you don't know Lee Morgan, Live at the Lighthouse. Good stuff.
Did you buy him as a piano player? Because I guess he had to do about a
year. Yeah, I don't...
He had to do months and months of
making
training.
I bought him as a piano player. Didn't buy him as a singer or a dancer. Hello!
I can see that.
I didn't mind any of that.
Yeah, I did like that whole thing at Griffith Park with him dancing around Griffith Park. I thought that was really cool.
Justine's going to go see it.
No.
Why? Go see it, Patrick.
I probably will end up.
That's your homework.
I just don't want to.
You know,
I'm not big on musicals either.
I love musicals.
Oh,
it's
you do?
The fact that it's Ryan Gosling.
Oh.
What do you have against Ryan Gosling?
But he's singing Blue Valentine, remember?
Yeah, that's the only thing I like.
Did you ever see The Driver?
Drive's great, yeah.
Drive is amazing, yeah.
But it's just...
He barely talks in that.
So...
He's good. He's good in that. You're right, he barely talks. Sometimes it's harder.
Ryan Gosling is not in Deadpool.
And a lot of people get Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling.
It's just, I just get over him. Everybody loves him so much, and I'm just like, meh.
He's great.
Why are you mad at him?
What did he do to you?
He's better looking than I am.
Everybody's better looking
Both
than
Both Ryans.
Oh, my.
Holy shit. Christ almighty.
I need to go get some ice. I'll be right back.
Now you're supposed to go, you're no Faye Ray, you know that?
This is Lee Morgan, the side rider.
He's a looker.
Live at the lighthouse. Listen to that bass line.
So why is John Legend in La La Land?
You'll see.
Okay.
Because...
Don't tell her.
John, what kind of jazz is this?
Would you call it West Coast?
No.
No? I'm not the
East
jazz.
East Coast.
No.
I know it's not fusion jazz.
South
Coast. Is it Central America?
It's hard bop.
Is that hard bop?
Hard bop.
If it was fusion jazz, I'd have a headache.
You're the guy I usually... Yeah.
I think it is.
I can't do fusion.
Yes, you can.
Mario's always the one I go, what is this? I'll hold the phone up and go, what is this? Would you consider this modern? Would you call this...
hard bop was actually... You guys named West Coast. Hard bop was actually a response before the great East Coast, West Coast rap beef. There was the East Coast, West Coast jazz
beef,
and West Coast jazz would be like Dave Brubeck, very mellow, and hard bop was like a response to that, like hey, we're coming, you know,
like wake up,
like hey, yeah.
But you like both, don't you?
Sure,
yeah, sure.
It's all legitimate.
Good, so like Cal Jader, that would be West Coast, right?
Yeah, I guess you throw Cal. Well, Cal Jader is more Latin, actually.
Okay,
Cal Jader is very Latin. Latin.
Okay, Vince Guaraldi, that'd be West Coast.
Yes, very good. Charlie Brown Christmas music. Yeah.
Okay, like Chet Baker would be considered West Coast?
Yeah. You want to hear a great Cal Jader track? Here's Cal Jader doing a, this is a him doing a cover of a Dizzy Gillespie tune. Right here. How about that?
Kitchen.
That's a vibraphone.
He's just getting all these.
Man, the look on your face. That's
you know what?
Vibraphone.
I can
you know
definitely.
Don't go see La La Land. You're not ready for it. You know, you don't deserve to see.
At the beginning,
it.
I just felt like we were in his kitchen.
I can cook. I can definitely cook to that.
I was going to say, Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me, aren't
take
you?
A break before I punch somebody.
The look on your face. That's a vibraphone. Your eyes were just like heavy lidded.
This same artist. Wait, we're pointing at something in the studio. How about out. Do you feel like you're in his kitchen now?
You probably took it to the backyard.
About barbecuing tonight.
Wait, listen to this rockin' jazz. Where are you going? We're still recording. Just see this guts up in the room.
Just leave.
Mario's all, how unprofessional.
Oh, look, there's John Hood.
Yeah, I believed you the first time you said
it. There he is.
I just have enough respect not to get out of my chair.
It's little John Hurt.
Was he only in that big episode with the nine doctors?
He was in there, like, they shot, like, maybe two scenes with him, and that was it.
That's great, though.
He was, like, the best doctor. He was in there for two scenes. Yeah. It's just like, damn.
Did they have more than, they had, like, more than one doctor in that episode, right?
Yeah, it was three of them. Yeah. It was the current one at that time, the previous one, and then...
They've never done that before, right? Where they've got them all
simultaneous. They've done it before.
They've done it with
a few times.
Tenet and...
No, but was that the first time?
No. Oh, they did it back in the 70s.
Yeah, they did it a couple times.
Because the last time I watched Doctor Who was when Tom Baker was the doctor.
He was in one of them.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I need to regroup because I'm so angry right now.
You're seething.
Looks like him.
All right.
Rage over there.
Why are you talking? Just gonna run this podcast like the Trump administration.
Again, don't throw that around too
loosely. You're wrong.
You're wrong. You're fired. All right.
It's a band.
Well, he's just using the words the media.
Mexico's going to build a wall. They're going to pay for it.
They're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for the wall.
It's going to be beautiful.
We got 30 minutes. We got stupid. In 30 minutes, guys. We're teasing, of course. We're teasing Trump.
What's in that? What is
Trump.
That?
Headphones.
Ah, interesting.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the podcast.
Wow, all that was just lost. Just lost. It's okay.
I turned it off like halfway through.
You're a piece of work. You know that.
He's not a piece of work.
You're a piece of shit. Work, you know? You know that?
I will just keep resetting.
I know.
He's out of control. Okay.
Like he's gone hungry. He's gone hungry with power.
So I just cut off the last hour.
We have
mad with that.
We have a quest. We have a quest. What is your quest?
Harmon's
what
quest.
Is your name?
We have a trivia.
Blue.
We have a trivia contest today. We're adding buzzers, and the panel is mad because I have two buzzers, and now
which nobody can hear.
So it's a quest within a quest. So you have to be able to hit the buzzer. They're in between each of them, so there's only two buzzers. So not only is a competition to get answer first, it's a competition to get to the buzzer first. This is great. It's really going to separate the adults from the kids this time. So you're not going to be ready. There it is.
Slapping each other.
There we go.
So violent.
Everybody's on their phone. So this half is on the phone, so we don't have to worry about that.
No, they're trying to find a buzzer app.
So John, it's just me and you.
Okay.
All right, John.
Can I just have that buzzer, please?
That'd what continent has the fewest flowering plants?
Iceland. No, it's fucking Greenland. Damn it.
That's not a continent. Do you want to steal, gentlemen?
Antarctica?
John is right. Antarctica. See how easy that
buzz
in?
One step closer to the prize.
See how easy that buzz in was?
Yeah.
Antarctica. Got it.
I love it.
My buzzer's not working.
I got it.
What national holiday in Mexico has picnickers munching chocolate coffins and sugar skulls?
Damn it.
Día de los Muertos.
The scream was first.
Yeah. Día de los Muertos. And it was John.
Día? Día?
John, what do you say?
Oktoberfest. No, I was going to say Day of the Dead.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. John with two.
It's Beerfest.
Día?
See, I can actually.
Okay, so hit it and then you call us.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Hit it and then.
Okay.
And then fight over who did it.
How many days does a cat usually stay in heat? Patrick.
10?
No.
Who cares? What?
John.
7.
No.
I got a cat. I should know this.
3.
Nope. You guys went right over it.
5, 6, 5, 4.
No. 5 was it. No. Nobody
Jesus
got that.
Christ.
Okay.
I was close.
All right, stop hitting the buzzer if it's not your turn.
I was trying to buzz in, but you just kept going.
He was trying to unbuzz it.
What
can you un-buzz
was the
buzzer?
First planet to be discovered using the telescope in 1781? The Scream side. Who was it?
Mercury.
Negative.
No.
Patrick.
Mars.
Negative.
Damn.
John.
Jupiter.
Nope. That's it.
I get to go.
Justine, do you have a guess?
They haven't said it.
No, we haven't. Now say it.
Did someone say Neptune?
What is the one planet everybody likes to say, you guys?
Uranus.
Come on.
Pronounced.
What's the ballet term for a 360-degree turn on one foot?
Pirouette?
You would know that. All
right. I was about
Once
to
Once a dancer, always a dancer.
I love to dance. Yes.
What Great Lake State has more shoreline than the U.S. Atlantic Seaboard? John.
Michigan.
Yes.
Holy cow.
That's kind of a gimme, the Great Lake State.
I know. I was like,
the only state.
I was waiting for the rest. It's like, there's got to be more to this.
Five of them.
Really? Okay. What, Michigan's surrounded, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What model appeared topless on the self-penned 1993 novel Pirate? What model appeared topless on the self-penned 1993 novel Pirate?
Wait, think we'd know this one.
You do know this one.
93?
Mm-hmm.
Pirate.
I don't fucking...
What? No, what?
I'm going to take a
it's
stab.
It's an autobiography?
Carmen Electra? I don't know.
No. What not model appeared topless on the self-penned 1993 novel Pirate?
Novel.
What's the one with the mole?
Self-penned novel.
What's the one with the mole?
I love that. It's the one with the mole.
What's her name?
Because there's only
Cindy
one
Crawford?
Model that's ever
Thank
had a mole.
You.
Okay, you guys, it's like the famous riddle about the doctor. How can you be? I can't be the doctor because you assume the doctor's a woman or a man. John?
Fabio.
Yes. But you don't count because...
Wait, Fabio was topless?
He's always topless. I had to give you the... He's always fucking topless.
Yeah, isn't he?
That's funny because nobody ever would have thought that was a guy, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you had Lafitte Rothschild on your dinner table, what would it be? John.
Wine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn, John, on fire.
Killing it.
What is sushi traditionally wrapped in? Who was it? It was on this side over here.
Seaweed.
Seaweed, Patrick.
Is that still going?
Slap my hand.
Hmm?
It's violent.
You just let me push the buzzer first.
May Queen, Wisely Crab, Fox Whelps, and Lane's Prince Albert are all species of what? May Queen, Wisely Crab, Fox Whelps.
What?
Weeds? Flowers?
No.
Damn.
Weeds and flowers are two different things.
Well, Heather is both, you know.
Yeah, hey, just trying to cover
one
my
more
bases.
Time.
May Queen. slower. May Queen, Wisely Crab, Fox Whelps, Lane's Prince Albert.
Now say it sexy. That might help.
Well,
that
we all know sexy. What a Prince Albert is, right?
Mm hmm. In a can.
Mm hmm.
Not the,
I don't know.
John?
Tobacco.
Nope.
Huh.
Apples.
Apples.
Prince
May
Albert?
Queen?
Lane's Prince Albert.
Lane's Prince Albert. Do you have Prince Albert in a can?
You better let him out. Okay. What?
Ha-ha.
Okay, for the Dune fans, what is allspice alternately known as?
You got this one.
No, it's not a Dune question. This is an actual... It's allspice. What is allspice alternatively known as? Think of an olive.
Look at you with the hints.
Me. This is killing me.
Pimento. Pimento.
Think of an olive.
What color is absinthe? Patrick?
Green.
Green, correct.
It tastes like black licorice.
Ugh.
What flavor is Cointreau? What flavor
we did
is
this
Cointreau?
Before. Remember I said orange.
Did you buzz in?
Orange.
She's quick.
Orange. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's a Cointreau?
Cointreau is a liqueur.
Yeah.
Liqueur.
It's an orange liqueur.
Liqueur.
Oh. All right, here we go.
Oui, oui.
But when she says orange, you think color.
Maybe.
Because the container has
the
orange around the label.
Nobody likes you.
It is the flavor of the orange.
All right. What country has more tractors per capita? I'm going to give it to multiple choice, jerk.
Jesus.
Now you can't. Now you buzzed before the multiple choice, so now you have to answer.
God, you big jerk. God, it's a...
Canada?
No, don't. No, he buzzed before.
Iceland or Japan?
Japan.
No.
Damn. Canada.
Nope.
Iceland.
Yes.
Iceland.
Who averaged one patent for every 3 weeks of his life? One patent.
Edison.
Yes, sir.
Job.
It was either him or Tesla.
Yeah.
All right. What Elton John album became the first album to enter the charts at number one in 1975? John Sandy.
Captain Fantastic. And the Brown Dirt Cowboy.
That's it. I was waiting for the whole thing and John gave it to me. Switch. What
one
laundry detergent got lots of mileage out of the ad line, Ring Around the Collar?
Tide?
Nope. John.
Whisk?
Whisk!
Doesn't even exist anymore.
That's so great. Doesn't even exist anymore. How about Buggy Whips and
that thing's, that thing's ancient.
It's called.
How about typewriters and Buggy Whips?
Yep, you can still get it. Whip. Yep.
I love that.
At the dollar store?
You can still get it. Down at the dollar store.
Probably down at the, I'm sure they have it at the dollar store. They have everything at the dollar store.
Anything you could want at the dollar store.
Who, after anchoring off Hawaii in 1779, was mistaken for the god Lono? Lono.
What?
John Sandy.
Captain Cook.
That's right.
Wow.
That's why they made that movie about him. That terrible Robin Williams movie.
Hey.
I thought he was the guy that sold fish sandwiches at McDonald's.
What continent? What continent is cut into fairly... Oh, I'm sorry. That was a bad cold read. What continent is cut into two fairly equal halves by the Tropic of Capricorn? What continent is cut into fairly two equal halves by the Tropic of Capricorn?
Buzz it. I dare you. Buzz it.
Africa?
No, sir.
The Americas.
South America.
Australia.
That was my next guess.
What explorer? You only had seven of them. Yeah. What explorer introduced pigs to North America? What explorer introduced pigs to North America? Patrick.
Columbus?
Yes.
That rat bastard.
He also, introduced deadly diseases, so that's good.
So we can thank him for the BLT and smallpox.
Yeah.
Okay.
The BLT.
The BLT.
Who was billed as the killer of Custer in Buffalo Bill's Wild West show? Who was billed as the killer of Custer in Buffalo Bill's Wild West show? John Sandy.
Sitting Bull.
Yes, sir. Dang, John. You're on it. What railway linked Moscow and Irkutsk in 1900? I can't even say it. Irkutsk. Moscow and Irkutsk. Irkutsk. I can't say it.
Irkutsk.
Irkutsk. Irkutsk.
Yes.
What railroad?
Irkutsk.
It's his great name. Great
yes.
Name.
Irkutsk. What railway linked Moscow and Irkutsk in 1900?
With Mr. Putin, I do not know.
With what nuclear railway? Vessels. Where are your nuclear vessels?
It is Trans-Siberian Railway.
I knew also, it had to be trans.
Also album by Kraftwerk. Okay.
Great album.
All right, here we go. What duo survived a 1909 shootout with Bolivia's cavalry, according to historians? John Sandy.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
That's right. Jeez.
Crush.
You guys are almost there.
I'm just going to take a nap. I'll be back in five.
What F word is defined in physics as a nuclear reaction in which nuclei combine to form more massive nuclei?
Fusion.
Nope.
Fission.
Just kidding, it's fusion.
You know what I've noticed?
No, you're right.
One of these, that buzzer keeps on going. You hit it and it just keeps going.
It's a longer one.
Going and going. Like the Energizer Bunny.
All right, ready? Here we go. What ingredient is in fresh milk is eventually devoured by bacteria causing the sour taste?
Lactose?
That is correct. Patrick's on a... He's right behind...
Got to know these things when you're lactose intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
All Here we go.
It gives me gas.
What is the only American state to begin with the letter P?
Pennsylvania.
Yep.
What about Philadelphia?
Name the world's biggest island. The world's biggest island. Jake.
Australia.
No.
I know we've had this question before. Go ahead, John. You know the answer.
World's biggest island. John.
England?
No. You guys said it earlier. Greenland. Greenland.
Ah. I knew it was.
What is the diameter of the Earth? What is the diameter of the Earth?
Are you kidding? That's a question?
What is the diameter
Pass.
Of the
Earth?
Like somebody would know that?
Is there an ABCD, please?
The diameter?
You want to do ABCD? I'll do ABCD.
It's the radius times pi r squared.
Yes. Ready? I'll give you, I'll make it multiple choice.
We have a laugh track now. So
A, 6,000. B, 8,000. C, 10,000. D, 12,000.
12,000 to what?
12,000 miles.
10,000 miles.
Nope.
Okay.
12.
Nope.
8. I only got she a did choice it. Of two.
The problem, she got it, but the problem, she didn't buzz.
She didn't buzz it.
Yeah, so no point.
8 is enough.
No point for you.
8.
You get nothing.
There we go.
You don't follow the rules, you get nothing.
Churchill, Sherman, and Panzer were all types of what?
Tanks.
Yes, correct. Jake gets
I
on
got
the,
one.
Jake gets on the board. Renee's looking in.
I got one.
Hi.
Wait.
Whoa.
I am so sorry.
Was that your high?
That just We're going to go on a quick break.
That just,
ladies and gentlemen,
so
Mario
gross.
Has raped the mic.
I am so sorry.
We're having some technical difficulties. We will be back shortly after
that
this
just
quick
popped right
break.
Out of there.
Just unleashed it.
I just unleashed it. All right, here we go.
Bum, bum, bum.
Here we go. Which record label did Michael Jackson first record on? Which record label? John.
Motown.
Correct. John with 10, Patrick with 8, Justine with 2, Jake with 1.
Yes.
Here we go.
I need to be 15.
I will take you down to Chinatown.
My Heart Will Go On came from which movie?
Titanic.
Your favorite movie.
She could fit him on the board. That's all I have to say.
What does N stand for in NATO?
Ah, you got it.
National.
No.
Nope, North. Bank.
John.
North.
Damn it.
Yes.
I'm like, wait.
Damn it, John.
National North American Trade
Here we go.
Damn it.
Who played Rachel Green in Friends?
Jennifer Aniston.
Yep. There we go. On what continent did the samba originate?
South America.
Wrong.
Really?
You know what's funny? This just says America.
Oh.
Which isn't a continent, so that we are not going to. You know what? I'm going to give it to you.
Because that's where it was.
He has all his dance
that
questions,
is where
right?
It was, right?
You love,
it is from
Espana. You love dancing.
You love dancing.
You're a tiny dancer.
España.
Which fictional bear thought he had very little brain?
Blue.
No.
No?
Who is that over there? Jake?
Mine pass.
John.
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah.
Winnie
yeah.
the Pooh.
I was going to say Yogi, but no way, he's smarter than average bear.
Smarter than the average bear.
Hey, boo-boo. In which state was Isaac Hayes... In which state was Isaac Hayes born? Isaac Hayes, Shaft.
You know, this question is
really
getting me shafted here. I have no clue.
You have a 1 in 50 chance of getting it.
1 in 50. I will take a stab and I will say Oregon.
Holy!
Nope.
Okay. Well, I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Anybody?
I'll guess.
John?
Georgia?
You were very close, John. It is in South Tennessee. Tennessee.
He's one bad mother.
You shut your mouth. All right, here we go.
Let's talk about Shaft.
What is the postal abbreviation for Maine? Postal abbreviation for Maine.
MN.
No.
No? Wait.
It's Minnesota.
Oh, what is it?
Emmy.
Emmy, John.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah. Here we go. What is the main color on the Chinese flag? Yes, sir.
Red.
Yes, sir.
Communist red.
What does the C stand for in LCD? Jake.
Crystal.
Yes, crystal.
I'm tied with you.
I know. I'm counting yours.
I need one more. One more, and I feel like I've won.
All right.
Here we go. You're going down.
Playwright Arthur Miller was married to which famous blonde actress? John.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yes. In football, where do the Broncos come from?
Denver.
That's correct.
You got a football question?
Yeah.
On a computer keyboard, what letter is between Q and E?
W.
Yes. Jake's coming alive.
That's a face. She just gave you a stink eye.
In basketball, where do the Hawks come from?
Nope. Not another one.
I didn't even know there was a team, the Hawks.
Yeah, there is.
Dallas. Mm-mm. Okay, I don't know.
Who's playing in the Super Bowl Sunday? Does anybody know?
Mm-hmm.
New England?
No. The Super Bowl. It's New England and Atlanta. So Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Hawks.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck's with the birds?
Which planet of our solar system was the first to be discovered by telescope?
We already did this.
We already did that one.
You fucking kidding me?
Uranus.
So you're going to start, doing questions that we missed?
Someone who suffers from honoreophobia is scared of what?
What?
Honoreophobia.
Winning.
That would be you right now.
That's weird.
No, that's a fear of losing.
Honoreophobia.
Dang.
Honoreophobia.
Oh, just tell us.
Dreams.
Oh. Hmm. That's weird.
Who is the Roman god of fruit?
Dionysus?
Nope.
Oh, no.
God of fruit?
Fruit of the loom.
Pescatarian.
There's really a god of fruit?
Sure, there was gods for everything.
Fructus.
Was it fructose?
Pomona.
Really?
Oh.
Pomona.
No shit. So Pomona's named after the goddess of fruit.
There you go, John. How about that?
How about that? Huh. Pomona.
According to Thomas Edison, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% what?
Perspiration.
Patrick? That's right. Boy, you love that Edison, huh?
Actually, I know that. I know that quote because of Willy Wonka.
Oh yeah, huh?
Mm-hmm. How is Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta better known in the music industry? Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta.
Gwen Stefani?
No.
What?
That's what I thought it was, too.
What is it? Oh.
John.
Lady Gaga?
Yes!
Dang.
Lady Gaga. Oh.
Radio Gaga. Radio Goo Goo.
Oh.
Radio Gaga. All they talk about is Radio Gaga. Radio Goo Goo.
Here we go.
Radio Gaga.
Hello. Which animal has the... That was Queen. Which animal has the longest gestation period? Which animal has the longest gestation
period? Elephants.
How do you know that?
I don't know.
That was my first guess. I'm like, no.
Forget it. Just give it up, you guys.
Do they do what for like 2 years? Does it say?
I think so. It doesn't say.
But the pouch is like enormous.
It's long.
But seriously.
How many squares are there on a standard chessboard? How many squares are there on a standard chessboard?
Okay, hold on.
10 by 10 is 100.
No.
It's 8. By 8, so it's 64.
That is correct.
Damn, I was off by 2.
Wow.
You were off by 8.
No, I had to count super quick in my head.
I know, you're both doing
math.
You're going.
I'm like, 2 rooks, 2 bishops, to this? Okay, I got it.
I'm sitting here going, there's squares on a chessboard?
Which
What's a chess?
Which talk show hostess appeared in The Color Purple?
Oprah.
Oh my God.
That's not
oh
how you
my
see.
God. What state is called the Cornhusker State? The Cornhusker State.
Oh God, wait, hold
the
on.
The Cornhusker State. So I'm just like,
I love it.
What state is called the Cornhusker State?
You sound like Wink Martindale.
Kansas?
No.
I don't remember.
If you wait, watch college it, football, it will help it. You.
I don't know.
I do not watch college football.
They play football in college?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Three.
Two.
No, two. I don't know.
Nebraska. The Corn Huskers of Nebraska. Take on the Buckeyes of Ohio State. It's going to be a barn burner.
That sounds like David Brinkley. So, the game today?
In baseball, where do the Blue Jays come from? The Blue Jays, guys. The Blue Jays. Patrick.
Atlanta?
No.
You went with the birds.
I was calling back
John
the birds.
Sandy.
Toronto.
Toronto. Oh.
How did I get a sports question?
Oh, Canadian.
The same way I got a sports question.
I know, just blind luck.
Like, you're just like, oh, I just happened to
know that.
Who was
the first woman to become Secretary of State for the United States? Yes.
Madeleine Albright.
John Sandy on fire at the end. What does the acronym NASA stand for?
Oh, wait.
We've had this before, and we're all like,
nope.
What?
I'm going to take a stab. North American Space
no!
Station. I'm just guessing. I don't know. All right. I don't know.
I take it all back.
Forget knows? I said that.
National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
There, I was close.
It was national. I couldn't get aeronautics.
I was going to say association at the end. Yeah, it's administration.
In The Simpsons. What is the name of the beer served in Springfield? John Sandy.
Duff.
That is correct.
Duff Man.
Oh, yeah.
The Gobi Desert is primarily situated in which country? The Gobi Desert.
The Gobi.
Gobi.
The Gobi Desert.
Gobi Desert. Hey, the Gobi. Gobi.
What's the...
The Gobi,
the Gobi
Desert.
Desert is primarily situated in which country?
Africa.
Negative.
No.
Mongolia.
Oh, jeez.
Which country?
Which was the first song by the Beatles to go number one in the U.S.? John Sandy.
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Correct. In which country can the Simpson Desert be found?
Is that a real question?
Mm-hmm.
The Simpson Desert?
The Simpsons. Desert.
That's weird.
Nope.
The Simpsons Desert.
Nothing. I didn't even know that was
Australia.
That makes sense. They're fucking crazy.
All right, and our final question of the day. Our final question. John Sandy, you do have a chance to tie it, Patrick. This could tie it. Push it into overtime. You ready?
Double Jeopardy.
If a coffee bean is darker, will its caffeine content be higher or lower?
Lower.
Correct. All right, here we go.
More caffeine. Let's go,
John. Going into overtime.
Let's go.
Oh, no, it's not a tie. John got 20. You got 15. Sorry.
What?
Wow.
You got 20.
That
you got 15.
Math. How did that math
that
work
was
out?
Cruel.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm in the winning end, I think.
I didn't
cruel.
See how you
By
guys
the way,
were...
John still beat you by like 20.
I'm sorry. I realized I had a hash mark underneath. Sorry,
you just
bro.
Got like five in a row.
That's
sorry, bro.
Okay.
So the winner is John with 20.
I'm
gonna Patrick,
myself.
You were a respectable second with 15.
I was trying
Jake
to Jake
came
to
in
fight
with
it.
Five. And Justine squeaked in the last place with 3. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to get the prize box out. John's eyes are going to pop out
new
of his...
New stuff, huh?
Oh, John.
Oh.
We got
when you see the wonders...
It's called the O'Neaters.
Our O-Video
star. O-Video. This segment was brought to you by O-Video. In Whittier for all of your Crocodile Dundee needs. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Superiority Complex, everyone. Thank you for joining us, and we appreciate you sitting through that quiz where John Sandy just mowed down the competition like yep. nothing, like so many weeds. How did that feel, John? How does it feel to just cut through your enemies like that?
You know, felt all right.
Well, then.
Patrick, remember, it's not second place. It's first loser. How do you feel?
Hurt.
Yeah.
You got my hopes up, and then you just dashed me on the rocks.
Oh, you're tied.
I like, because Mario's all, we got new stuff in the box. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You built him up all excited, and you're like, nope, just kidding.
I thought I had a chance. I really did.
Yeah, that was cruel.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time for a new favorite segment. It's called the Trump Dump, where we are going to take a look at the week's a week's worth of news from our current administration that we all are all big fans of.
So excited.
Yeah.
So how'd it go? How was this week for you guys?
Well, you know.
Is everybody all right?
We're still alive.
Well, the biggest story obviously was this weekend the Trump administration decided to unveil a new menu of travel restrictions on folks from seven countries?
Yeah,
seven Muslim majority countries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, excluding three that where he may or may not have business interests, but
we'll never know because he hasn't revealed his taxes.
That's right, but we'll never know. And what John and I were talking about on the drive over here is, and I mentioned this on my Twitter, was that what really gives me hope in these times is that you're seeing people just dropping everything and just showing up to spontaneously protest at these things. So if you're going to take hope in anything, take hope in the fact that people are paying attention.
They're awake, yeah.
And they're awake. And
they're not going to sit for it.
They're not going to sit for it.
Yeah, that's good.
My problem is, the danger of that is, if you keep doing this, how long will people keep showing up?
Before they burn out.
And I think that's what... I think that's what they're banking on, that people are just going to burn out.
People have been saying you need to make connections, so it's not always just marching and protesting, that you make connections so that you're actively doing things to bring them down, you know?
And there are ways. There are people
network with people. There's a lot of people, high and low, trying to...
Get in touch with lobbyists. I'm sure they can get in there and make a difference.
Contact your government officials. By the way, if you want to download a great app, it is called, I have it on my phone, it's called Countable. And Countable, it'll show you exactly who your representatives are in government, how they are voting on certain issues, and you can also get into contact with them via email or phone. It's called Countable. It is available on Android, so I'm assuming it is also available on Apple on your iPhone. So check it out. And it also have like top news. It'll have political news in there too. So,
Countable?
Countable. So check it out. Check it out. You put in your zip code, and it'll give you who your representatives are
at the
state and national level. So you can check that out.
Very handy.
Also, a quick public service announcement before we go too deep down the rabbit hole. Covered California, if you're in California, Covered California, which is the ACA here in California, they have extended their deadline. It was the 31st, but now it is extended to February 4th, and this comes out, this will come out on the 2nd, so you'll have till the end of the week, I think. Or no, the 4th would be Saturday?
Friday.
Friday?
Yeah.
So you'll have till Friday by the time this comes out. No, what's today?
1st, 2nd, 3rd. Yes, you're right, Saturday.
Today's so you'll have till Saturday to check it out. So register online, or you can call Covered California, and the number is 800-888-4256. Once again, 800-888-4256. And I am a huge proponent of the ACA. Mm-hmm. The ACA literally saved my life. I was diagnosed with diabetes after my wife lost her job and I had no insurance. And I had to get some stopgap insurance, and the ACA allowed me to sign up because it was called a change of life. So it was like, if there's these extenuating circumstances, they would sign you up mid-year, which is exactly what I needed to do. And then shortly thereafter, I was diagnosed with diabetes. And the reason I signed up was because I was starting to get symptoms. I was starting to get the neuropathy in my feet and whatnot. And I was like, I need to see a doctor, but I don't. And thank God, because if I didn't have the ACA, I had to go to a neurologist, an optometrist, and a cardiologist immediately. Not to mention all the lab work that needed to be done, and I was able to save a lot of money by going through the ACA.
And that's what's at stake, and that's what's going to be lost if they just get rid of it without any sort of – they have no idea what they're going to replace it with.
Now, did you hear the story? There was a woman who – the GOP had a they were having a closed door cabinet. They were having a closed door meeting where it came out that they really don't have a replacement plan, and they were deciding what they needed to do and how they were going to repeal it without, you know, having. And a woman got into the meeting pretending to be a wife of one of the legislators, and she actually recorded some of the meetings and released it to the Washington Post and other. And they have no idea who this woman is. She's completely anonymous, and but she's been able to do it. But she was able to get into this meeting and record.
When did they release that?
The Washington Post had recorded some of the. They released some of the recordings over the weekend.
Great.
Yeah.
Check
yeah.
that out.
Yeah, yeah, but she got in.
Wow.
She was able to get in, you know, as an operative for good. But, of course, that creates, you know, what that happens is now they start to tighten the security.
They start tightening up, yeah.
But,
Wow.
There was a little bit of that going on, a little bit of cloak and dagger.
Yeah. Woo.
Yeah, how about that?
I am not a crook.
Yeah. So, what I was going to say about the ban on travel and
extreme vetting.
Yeah, the extreme vetting, which was already in place, by the way.
Yeah.
And they say it's so extreme to begin with, they don't see how they can tighten it up anymore. Except to do something like this, which is people even with green cards can't get back in.
Well,
right?
John and I were you and I were discussing, John, and I guess this is all a brainchild of Jeff Sessions, this whole week of just this flurry of activity. And the way Jeff Sessions described it was, you know, you hit them with shock and awe to keep their opponents off balance. But it's amazing to me that they would use the term shock and awe, which is what we saw in the Iraq war.
Yeah.
Which is what what they basically used to describe the strategy they had against their enemies. So now do they consider, and we've already heard Steve Bannon, the Nazi in chief, say that the press is what are they called? How did he word it?
The opposition party.
The opposition party.
The press is the opposition party.
The press.
Party, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right?
The free press.
The free press. So you have that, and you have that couple of shock and awe. Just tell you exactly what this administration thinks of the people.
Mm-hmm. And free speech.
And free speech.
Yeah, you know, fuck it.
And just freedom in general.
And freedom in general. But I thought it was amazing that you would use that terminology to describe this tactic of just keeping things. And what I want to point out is, and this is not a conspiracy theory, but if you look at it's sleight of hand, because you have something like this, which is outrageous. Mm-hmm. But then what are they doing behind the scenes? So while this is all going on,
yeah, we don't know what's actually
now. They've
happening.
they've taken members of the military. They removed the Joint Chiefs of Staff from the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on the National Security Council and replaced them with Steve Bannon, a civilian.
When did that happen?
That happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that. That should have been front page news.
It wasn't because...
They replaced the Joint Chiefs of Staff with...
No. On the National Security Council.
Oh, the National Security
Council. Yeah, he's got...
He is the first civilian ever to sit on the National Security Council with no experience. He was in the Navy 7 years, but he also has ties to the alt-right.
And, of course, he's very well-versed in the works of Herr Goebbels.
Yeah, right.
Good guy to be on the...
Wow. Yeah, so he's on the council now. So yeah, they put you can look it up. You can read articles.
I didn't catch that. Wow.
Yeah, see, that's what's going on, John.
Holy crap.
Because we're on the interwebs.
Hmm.
So here it is. This is come on in, Sammy boy.
Hey, Sammy.
Yeah.
Howdy.
So this is a executive order of January 28th entitled Presidential Memorandum Organization of the National Security and Homeland National Security Council and Homeland Security Council affirms that the Principals Committee shall continue to serve as the cabinet level senior interagency forum for considering policy issues that affect the national security interests of the United States. The memo goes on to this is from Slate.com. The memo then goes on to state that the committee's regular attendees shall include the Secretaries of State, Treasury, Defense, Homeland Security, the Attorney General, and the National Security Advisor, who formally calls such meetings. The Director of National Intelligence and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff are also invited to attend when issues pertaining to their responsibilities and expertise are to be discussed. Among those other senior officials, the memo also includes in its list of regular attendees the Assistant to the President and Chief Strategist, in other words, Steve Bannon. Mm. No such position, not even a broad category that includes this position, is listed in the statute governing the NSC. A presidential memorandum doesn't override federal law. Therefore, Bannon should not be given a seat at the table unless Congress amends the law. Mm. So this is troubling. If you follow Steve Bannon's his rise from Breitbart News, which is a far, far right wing news agency, to know that this gentleman now is going to have a voice in. Now, remember, the National Security Council decides, you know, foreign policy. It decides things here at home.
Well, you're seeing the beginnings right now. His fingerprints obviously are all over this.
Yeah.
That this, you know, this is like, yeah, this is like blindsided, you know.
And
they obviously didn't consult anybody.
No.
You know, we were talking about that earlier. They didn't consult people that would have said, you know, maybe you shouldn't put this out unless you know that it's legal to put this out, yeah. You know.
Which is exactly what ended up happening with the fallout with Yates.
She said, I'm not going to defend this in court. And to her credit, because they said that, like I was telling you, she could have just resigned, but she decided it was better to get her thoughts on the record and make a little more noise and draw attention to what this is instead of just disappearing. Yeah, it was better the way she did it.
Something troubling that came out of the fact that they replaced her was when they fired off their memo, they said that she had betrayed the Department of Justice.
Exactly.
So it's all this inflammatory language that you have to watch out for.
Yeah.
Trump has also said that now any White House officials will not appear on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Further closing down access to – he wants to handpick the reporters that represent him in the press pool.
Yeah, that's scary stuff.
Yeah.
And Reuters today Reuters has now released a statement telling its reporters to treat this as they would if they were in a hostile country.
Right.
Covering somewhere like Iran and to be ready for physical violence.
This is like they were talking the other day about
this is
how,
the United States we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Still.
They were saying how hard it is for reporters like in Egypt and places where it's tough. Like, you know, you can't trust anything that's in the press in those countries. It's all hand, you know, Russia, Egypt. It's all, you know, you read the paper like, well, this has just been, you know, handpicked to, you know, it's like 1984. You know, you cannot trust what's in the press in those countries. So now, yeah, we're edging toward that, where they're going to have to really do some skullduggery to get to the bottom of what's really happening. You're not going to be able to trust what they're handing out, you know?
So far, a lot of the legitimate outlets are doing a great job in digging stuff up and reporting it.
This is like back to Woodward and Bernstein. This is like, you know, in those days, you had to really work to get these stories.
Well, what's funny is somebody posted a thing on Teen Vogue decrying the fact that Teen Vogue all of a sudden has become this political mouthpiece for the opposition of Trump. And they did a thing on Steve Bannon, and I posted that. I said, who would have thought that Teen Vogue is the Woodward and Bernstein of modern time? Like, Teen Vogue is doing this. But
they've been saying the press is going to really have to really work harder now. Because they're gonna have to really work to get to the bottom of what's going on.
What's the most concerning to me is the fact that this stuff should not break down along party lines. You know, Republicans and Democrats alike, right wing and left wing, should be. This is concerning.
Yeah.
Because we've never had this happen in the United States. John, can you ever remember in a time in your life where a president was elected and right out the gate met so much opposition? It's like everybody knows.
No. It's hard for it to recall. Yeah, in our lifetime, and you'd have to go even further back. Has there ever been a time? I mean, yeah, he's going, and people are kind of waking up, I suppose, because they say he's got the lowest
approval rating.
Approval rating for any incoming president. Usually there's a honeymoon period, and they kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. They said, man, right out the gate, he's doing such crazy shit that it's the lowest ever. You know, for people that read into that stuff.
Yeah.
It means something because it's only going to be uphill. He's going to have to really circle the wagons because it's only going to be uphill from here on out as far as the general public. If he's going in with that kind of like, wait a minute.
Well, you're hoping that more of the – because, you know, the Republicans have the majority in Congress. So you're hoping you see – and now I just – in the break we read a report that a couple of the Republicans who supported Betsy DeVos for the Secretary of Education have defected and are now saying they're not going to vote for her, and this really puts her confirmation on thin ice. That's what you're going to need to start seeing. I think enough of the constituency is starting to raise enough of a stink that Republicans are saying, well, maybe we can't ride this out. Because I think what they were waiting to do was they were waiting to see how much can we use this for our own political gains.
Right, because they've got their agenda. And they were thinking maybe he'll be useful to advance our agenda. But the ones that can think of country before party, they should see that this is a danger to both parties. This is a danger to the country.
You have guys like McCain who are coming out and saying just that.
I mean, a lot of these guys should have come out sooner, but at least now somebody's got to take a stand. It's only going to get harder. You know, it's going to get harder the more he tightens things
and
up.
And the more power he gives himself.
Exactly.
You know, there was a lot of complaint about executive overreach when Obama was using these orders, these executive orders. Yeah. But he was basically using them to bypass Congress, who was
stonewalling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's not quite the same thing.
No. Trump is just – he's basically had carte blanche for a week and a half, and he's doing all this stuff. And
so the stuff that's illegal, they got to call him on it. Now's the time. He signs these things, executive orders and memoranda, and the stuff that's unconstitutional, they've got to call him on it right now before it gets tougher.
Well, I have a theory about the Muslim ban. I feel like that is – for me, you know, and not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, I told you, John, I think they're testing the boundaries of legality, and they're trying to see what they can get away with and what works. Whose phone is that?
I don't know.
Not mine.
Not mine. Is it you?
No. I don't have a – that's not mine.
This guy looks like Mike Pence. Look at that haircut.
It's not mine, is it? I don't have an alarm.
Is that your watch you set?
Oh, that's my watch. No.
Hey, look.
Yeah, it just stopped.
Look.
But it's still going.
Look.
That was your watch?
Look. Mike Pence.
Oh, it does look like Mike Pence. That's cable.
Yeah.
There's a picture. I don't know what that was.
You said it earlier, didn't you?
But it's a countdown. So it's still in the middle of counting down. So I don't know why it would be ringing right now.
No, it's my phone.
Ringing. Was it your phone?
Yeah, it was my phone.
Shh. John's letting you take all the heat. He's like, hey, look, Mike Pence.
Who was it, John?
I don't know. It's in my pocket.
Oh, really? Would you like to take that call right now, John?
No,
I was saying I feel like everything that's going on now is they're testing the limits of what they can get away with. And I feel like this is a ramp up for – because if you look at it, the Muslim immigration makes up a small amount of the immigration here in the United States. But what's the biggie? What did he promise? But, you know, turning his eye towards Mexico and immigrants from Latin America. And I feel like this is the first step getting ready towards, like, mass deportation, trying to see what they can get away with. You know, if we kick somebody out, how easy is it for them to come back in, even if they do have a visa? Things like that. And I really feel like that's what the ramp up is. And also, sleight of hand, you know, you missed the whole thing on Bannon. So it's not that you're not paying attention either. It's not for lack of
paying
attention.
I'm really amazed that I missed that, yeah.
But it's there. Wow. And so that shows you that this type of thing works.
That's been his pattern for the last year and a half, where he does something real crazy and then everyone's talking about that and not seeing what's going on. You know, there's a secondary story that everyone's missing because, like, can you believe he just said that?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what you don't realize is that behind the scenes he's doing something even crazier.
Mm-hmm. Somebody at the LAX protest had a sign that said, "Don't think we don't see the shit you're pulling with the National Security Council."
Ah,
there's a protest sign.
Very good.
You know, it's going to be up to us people to stay vigilant and don't burn yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
I've literally a couple times this week had to go,
this is a long haul.
I need to put Facebook down for a little while and not want to engage everyone.
Because you will. This is the first week, and he's got 4 years. So don't burn yourself out. You're going to have to stay with this.
Save it for the biggie.
And the other thing is, you know, what can you do constructively? You know, you can't – it won't always be able – I mean, marches are great to visually show how many people – say this is not all right. You can't get away with this crap. But what else can you do? You know,
I want to.
Because he's going to do it regardless.
He has no regard.
No, I mean, it's a great show of strength. But they say network, find other people that are like minded, get it together, and make sure that you're doing all you can. And the main thing, is to call your representatives, your senators, your.
Yeah, but how much can we trust those assholes at this point?
Well, there's a few.
There's a few, but. It's just
they fear for their job. So if you, what the Tea Party, as crazy as they were, what they showed is that if you make enough noise and big enough numbers, they are afraid of losing their next election. So if there's enough noise, everybody eventually comes around if the numbers are there, because it means that they're not going to get in. next time there's an election.
Well, I don't think Trump's going to be running a second time, so I think he's going to try and get as much done as he can.
You don't think he's going to run again?
I don't think anyone's going to let him.
People should be looking to the next election in 2 years. That's the thing. We have to change the balance in Congress. There's things to do before he's up for re-election. Christ. And
I can't imagine.
He could be impeached. He could still be impeached.
I can't imagine him making it past a year.
The thing is, if they start calling him on stuff that's illegal, he could be impeached.
Yeah.
You know? But it's tricky because it's the Congress that votes in on that. And it's tougher to impeach him when it's mostly Republicans. So
let me.
He would have to do something so extraordinarily.
Let me give you guys a little on the idea of kind of pacing yourself for the marathon that it will be the next 4 years. Lauren Nichols, friend of the show, Lauren Nichols, has started a book club. And I wasn't able to participate because the scheduling conflict. I can't. But I asked her to send me the reading list and to read along. So she's basically put together a reading list that is kind of a survival guide for the Trump administration. So and Lauren she's really sharp. She was a history major. She's one of the sharpest people I know. And so the book that she recommended that I'm reading right now and I'm really enjoying is called "This Is an Uprising." Uprising. This is an Uprising by Nation Books. It's by Mark Engler and Paul Engler. And if you go to thisisanuprising.org, they actually have a whole – it's kind of like a website for and it's the book is a history of the tagline is how nonviolent – wait, let me see. How nonviolent revolt is shaping the 21st century. And it's it really talks about it starts out talking about like Martin Luther King and Birmingham and how these uprisings are really strategic and planned and how using a nonviolent uprise can often bring out the cruelty of the opposition of the opposition party and how that works to gain momentum and when you get other agencies involved that see that the strife and see that the trouble that you're in it can swing. And it takes its gambles from like the Arab Spring and things like that. But check it out. I'm only a couple of chapters into it, but it's a really fascinating book that talks about and it makes references to Gandhi and things like that so far. But it's really really good, worth picking up if you want to see. And if you decide you want to go down and march or participate in anything like this, it helps to have a plan. And because trust me, they have a plan for dealing with. And we haven't seen it yet. No. We have not seen the. But I have a feeling that they are going to start cracking down on these protests if they keep gumming up the works like they have. But they seem to be working. Mm-hmm. They seem to be working, Trump had to cancel he was going to go visit the Harley-Davidson plant, and they canceled it out of fear of protests.
There you go.
So
there you go.
Whatever we can do to work.
Whatever we can do, people, the power is in our hands. That's why we close every show by saying, fight the power.
What are some of the other books on that list?
I will get the list to you.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find it real here. Talk amongst yourselves. John, do you have anything you want to add? Patrick, Jake, Justine, how are you feeling?
I mean, this isn't okay? Trump related, but they're talking of decriminalizing the
weed? Because I'm going to need it to deal with this next word.
No. Well, we're in California. It's already been decriminalized.
Yeah. Decriminalizing the food carts in LA.
Oh, yeah, to help with California. To help with the sanctuary so they won't get deported, yeah.
Nice, nice.
What did you think of Jerry Brown's speech, John?
Beautiful. Beautiful, yeah. That was really a rousing speech. He usually comes in pretty cool and level-headed, and that was really a call to arms, Like, we are not going to sit still for this. Yeah, wonderful speech. It's funny. They got the thing. They're going to put that thing on the ballot. They're actually going to get that thing on the ballot. They're going to try to get enough signatures so that California can secede from the rest of the nation.
It's looking like a more and more
viable option.
I mean, it's silly. That'll never happen. It shouldn't happen. But that's nice to know that many people would like to be separate from the.
They would want. Why Cal Exit would play into their hands?
Yeah, because then they could militarize the situation.
Well, no. It would play into the. You know why I feel like Trump would let it go? Because what's California? Always.
Oh yeah,
a blue state.
Sure, but it's a lot of it's a lot of income for the rest of the country. That's the thing you have to think about. Yeah, he just assumed we fell off the edge of the country into the ocean, but we provide a lot of income for the rest of the country.
Yes, we do.
We're the top agricultural.
We're 1/6 of the – we're the 6th largest economy in the world.
Yeah, they would not let us go.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No. But it's nice to dream.
It is nice to dream. It's nice to see how many people would like to do that.
What I love about when you get on the – I like to read the comment sections. I don't like to get in there and like read and argue. But I do like to get in there and read. And like whenever you see anything about Cal Exit, all these people from all over are like, yeah, good riddance, California. Get out of here. Nothing but a bunch of liberals and hippies. Hey, guess what? You don't have to come here.
Nope.
Good. Get out.
Those liberals and hippies are giving you all your food and money.
Yep. So. And we are, you know, for all these people that think that California can't stand up, we're actually what's called a donor state. We pay more in taxes than we receive from the federal government.
Yeah.
So we can hold out. I mean, we can hold out for a while. So I'm trying to find Lauren's list here.
Thing to look for in this vein is there's an author named David Frum, F-R-U-M. And he was on NPR yesterday, and he's got an article in the New Atlantic, new issue of the Atlantic, called "How to Build a Modern Autocracy," and it's all about how Trump is going to do this in very subtle ways, slowly but surely. It won't look like Hitler in the 30s. It's going to be more of a thing that by intimidating companies and intimidating the press, and you know through that. Slowly but surely, he can start whittling away at just basic American freedoms. And if we're not like watching, it's going to happen under our noses. So I think the name of the article is "How to Build a Modern Autocracy," and it's in the new issue of the Atlantic. And he's just going point by point about how this is going to go down, how it could go down, and it's through a lot of it will be through intimidation, like he's doing, like affecting the stock price by you know, calling out some company on Twitter that's affecting the stock prices, which is crazy in itself. And then if he starts tightening access, that the press, if there's not enough press access to what he's doing, that this is where it all starts.
Well, I was saying,
he says people are thinking it's going to look like Germany 1933, but it won't, because this is 2016. It's going to be much more subtle.
Look, guys, you don't need to send people to camps if you take away their health care.
Exactly.
They'll just die off.
Yeah.
And if we're too weak to fight back, or we're too sick to fight back. And then, you know, the idea of privatizing education. Now you're making sure that the people on the bottom stay on the bottom, because now you take away their shot.
Exactly.
Yeah. But here's the thing: we talked about this last week. What the people that voted for Trump thinking he was going to help them out also are the kind of people that they don't necessarily. It's like, yeah, keep the Muslims out because we need that money here. I keep seeing this thing about, well, I wish you guys cared as much about homeless veterans as you do about refugees. It's like, you can care about both. How about you don't build a wall in Mexico and use that money to help both groups? Mm-hmm. We can all benefit. But people don't see it. It's always like a this or that.
And what they don't see is that that's going to harm us. If you put that wall up, it's going to harm us just as much as Mexico.
Compromise.
But here's the thing. That Tetris, you take out that bottom row when you used to play Tetris. Well, another row has to replace that bottom row.
Right.
And eventually you're going to be on the bottom row because you're not putting any money into these guys' pockets.
That's
so they don't care. Yeah. They do not care if they can't make money on you. No. They do not care. They would rather have you see fall off the face of the earth. Paul Ryan he follows objectivism. It's Ayn Rand, and it's social for a bunch of people who say this is a Christian country. They keep voting for people who believe in social Darwinism,
right?
Because that's what it is.
Right. That was his big thing, wasn't it, Ayn Rand?
Yeah. Darwinism. It's the strong. You know, it's the survival of the fittest.
That's right.
And we're going to take away your health care. So guess what? You're going to die. So there goes any opposition you have at the bottom. Because
that is the opposition.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with the voter suppression too, which is you start make – you know, it's the old thing. You know, who benefits by making it harder to vote? They kept saying that. In the Western world, we're the one that makes it the hardest to get a vote in. And the harder you make it to vote, who benefits? It's not the Democrats.
No.
It's the Republicans. That's who benefits if you make it harder for minorities and the poor and the elderly and the infirm. The harder you make it for them to vote, it can only benefit the Republicans.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about eliminating gerrymandering and things like that and redrawing the districts for the next election. And that would really hurt the right. We'll see. We'll see what happens, guys. But stay strong, right?
I mean, a lot of people didn't vote. They start talking about how many people didn't vote.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Election.
I'm mad at
every vote counts. Every vote matters. You know, I mean, that was like Obama's parting shot. He says, you know, the day after the election, when he got up there and they're like, what do we do? And his like parting shot was, well, elections matter and every vote counts. What can I tell you?
3 million. How many people didn't vote? How many Democrats?
Well, they were even talking for California. I mean, California was a shoo-in to you know, for Hillary. But what'd they say? 40% of California didn't vote. Was that the number? Now, that's just California. How much of the country didn't vote? And that made a difference.
It sure did. Now look what
but
we're
Hillary's
doing.
Also, still on the popular vote.
Also, that's true. That's true.
It.
That's true.
And we just needed those electoral
states.
Scarier
than anything else.
What's
I
that?
Mean, the fact that you know, in a state where you are, you know, your electoral vote isn't worth the same as another state.
Right.
It takes your voice and says it's not worth the same.
Right.
And
right.
that hurts more than anything else. That tells you.
Over 90 million eligible voters did not vote in 2016.
Yeah. That tells you, you know, vote or not, your voice isn't heard.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Especially with the popular vote.
The problem is the reason they'll never get rid of that electoral college is because their argument is every election would be decided by New York, Texas, and California.
Perfect. Let's do it.
No, but that's why it'll never tip that way. They'll never vote to get rid of the Electoral College. The other reason is whichever party got in is all, well, it's working fine for us.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, you know, look who's in there. No, it would be great to get rid of it, but it's never going to happen.
Considering the party that's in there now has benefited twice from in recent memory.
Exactly. I mean, that's kind of unusual that it's happened twice in a lifetime. It used to be something like you say, gee, the last time that happened was what, Rutherford B. Hayes, you know? Yeah. And now it's happened, what, twice in our lifetime. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. And this is by even more, right? This is almost, they say now it's almost 3 million. It's like 2.9.
Something like that, yeah.
It's almost 3 million.
John, my final thought is what's sad for me and you being our age, these kids here, but I thought we were past all this. All the stuff that were out there. Like,
well, you take it for granted when things are mm-hmm. – you think that things are going to progress and that –
And you feel like everybody's just a basic, decent human being and it's going to be like, yes, we can all be on the same page.
You know,
but nope.
You think everybody's a basic, decent human being
well, you know,
and then
that's,
they spit in your face.
Yeah.
And that's – it's funny. That's the other thing. They keep kind of reviewing those last two or three speeches that Obama gave and they said, here's a guy who truly believed it. He says most – he kept saying it. I believe that most people are good. He says, not everybody, but I believe that most people do the right thing and they do, you know, they do the right thing. And they say, was that naive? Should he have not, should he have had a more cynical, you know, people were like sort of like parsing it now.
No, because
said, he believed it. He really believed it, that most Americans do the right thing in their heart of hearts. Most people are good. And he believed it, you know. So we're going to find out.
Yeah.
We're going to find out.
And
just
now we have Trump.
But that's the thing. They said it was a... It wasn't just – this was a smart guy. This was a smart guy. So it's not necessarily a naivete. It's that he truly believed he or wanted to believe that most people are good and are going to do the right thing. And there had been such a progression. Like say in the last 50 years, there's been such a steady march toward progress.
And equality for everyone.
Yeah. And particularly in the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you thought there's no way we're going back.
Oh.
There's no way we're going to elect somebody who's going to take us back to the dark ages.
Well, you know, with the most recent election, prior to Trump actually entering the race and everything like that, there was the strong possibility that a Republican was going to get elected, that there was going to be some backstep. That's to be expected after 8 years of forward progression by a Democratic Party.
Sure.
The pendulum swings, yeah.
Didn't think that swing was going to knock us back, you know, 60 years.
Well, this is a – yeah, that's the thing. If a McCain or a Mitt Romney had gotten in, it would not have been five steps back.
No.
This is like way back. This is like they really want to take this back to like Jim Crow days,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they do. Well, look
– So
again.
They say Mitt Romney and McCain, they said that was the problem. They painted them to be this you know, like, oh, my God, we can't possibly let this man be president. And when you look at it now – it's like, wow, that would have not have been.
Good right
I've
now.
Said it before. I never thought I would do. You guys broke me. I actually missed George Bush.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I missed that bumbling
George idiot. George W. Bush.
The inauguration where he's sitting in his chair and his parking comes up on his face. It's just like, wow, God. He was not that bad.
No.
I mean, in comparison. That's the thing. And people say that about Reagan now. I mean, Reagan was pretty goddamn scary at the time.
Well, the thing about Bush was he was easily swayed by Dick Cheney, who was evil. And even
Dick Cheney doesn't look that bad anymore.
Nope. I'm like, I'll take the evil of Dick Cheney.
Now, what did you say recently? Dick Cheney said.
Well, I guess they were just retreading. Okay. I had dug it further into it, but they were retreading. Okay. He had said something about that on the campaign trail.
Okay.
During the campaign, he said that was un-American.
That's a hell of a thing. That even so, even if that was like 3 months ago or 9 months ago, that Cheney.
But it tells you, like, you know, Cheney, Bush, McCain, all these people. You would rather have the evil you know. And you can expect then the evil that you can't.
I don't even think McCain's
predict.
That evil. I think McCain's just a moderate.
I think those guys are thinking country first.
Yeah.
We've got a guy. It's me first. It's not country first. It's me first.
And then you have these guys like Bannon who are glomming onto that.
It's
knowing
me and my tiny hands first.
They can use that to their advantage, to push their agenda.
He's a useful idiot. He's a useful idiot not only to Putin. He's a useful idiot to Bannon.
Yeah.
And that is the hard truth.
Oh yeah, you know
he's a useful idiot to people like Bannon.
So many people pulling the strings.
And mm-hmm. Bannon probably can't believe that he's in the White House. You know,
there's a really great and chilling cartoon, and it's very well drawn. It's super creepily drawn, but it's a picture of Bannon with a little Trump on his lap, and they're at the desk of the White House, and he's like. Write your name like a big boy, and Donald Trump is like, I'm a big boy.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
Yeah, I'm a big boy.
It's funny because it's true.
All right, guys. Well, listen, you're in the rebellion now, so stick, keep fighting. Fight the power. And I hate to do Trump dump last because we leave on such a bummer.
I know.
We leave on such a bummer.
We got to make it.
You should dump Trump in the beginning.
No,
because then people tune out.
I mean, if anything,
bummed out for the rest of the
day. It makes sense to have it at the end.
Oh,
but
maybe we
gotta
could
finish off.
Maybe
with,
we could finish off with another sequence.
It wouldn't even be that. It's just make sure we finish off with rebellion. You know, understand that we have to fight this.
That's
and
true.
We have to stand up together.
That's true. Make it a positive.
That
thing.
The only way this is going to be successful is if
that's
we
right.
all group together. Yeah, yeah. We all make sure our voice is heard. And we do something about this.
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go. Or you drop dead from a heart attack.
Yeah, or you drop dead from a heart attack.
I think he'll get impeached first. He doesn't have the dignity to die.
So is it is it heart attack, impeachment, or assassination? Which one's it going to
be? No, he can't be assassinated. Don't make him a martyr.
Would that make him a martyr?
Yeah. Yep. To the Republican people? Absolutely.
You got a point
and then
there.
They'll blame it on a Democrat.
You got a
they'll
point.
Be well, that's
you
what they're already
point.
Doing. They're
I know.
You know, freaking
the
out about
the one thing
marching
I can't wait to see.
You got a point.
And I would say this about anybody else because we know it won't happen with Trump because he doesn't care. But, you know, when you see Obama, like when you see these presidents and they just turn like gray. Can you imagine what Trump's hair is going to look like if he gave a shit? He doesn't.
That's
so
he
it'll
just
never
hit,
happen.
He just hit it because he doesn't care.
Trump's
going
to go bald.
He doesn't care enough to go gray.
He doesn't care enough to go gray.
Yeah. No.
You have to care about the country to get those gray hairs.
I'm pretty sure
know?
He's, you know, suckling off the teat of the fountain of youth and will never.
He just doesn't give a fuck.
No. But, I mean, we got to understand that we got to do this together. It's the only way.
There you go. Does that give you hope?
Yes.
I like that it played when
you
got out of the
bathroom. A new hope.
Guys, rebellions are built on hope. So for John Zan, for Patrick, for Jake, for the lovely Justine, we will say this transmission ends now. Fight the power!
Fight the power.
You never introduced us this.
How do people know who we are?
I was going to say it earlier.
No fucking introduction.
I was going to say it earlier, but you went around and you asked us questions. I'm like, maybe that's his way of introducing us.
But yeah, fight the power, guys. But yeah.